Hey friends, this is Harold Long. Welcome to the weekly message from Transformation Church. I'm so glad you're carving out time to join us today. I believe this teaching can speak right to your heart and help you take the next steps in your Jesus-centered journey. I share a few thoughts at the end, but for now, let's jump into the message. Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to be with you on a Sunday morning. It's sunny, it's warm, it's spring-like. I love the spring. I love to listen to the birds starting to sing and whistle. I got a new bird outside. I call him Jimmy the Bird because when you go out there, it sounds like he's going, Jimmy, 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 Jimmy. And it's hilarious. Every morning I just die laughing. It's like, my name's not Jimmy. And I have some aliases, but Jimmy wasn't one of those aliases. But I'm glad to be here. I'm Pastor Harold, and we're glad you're here. If you're listening online, we're glad you're with us. We are in a message series. It's a year-long message series called Soul Restoration. Body, mind, and spirit. And we're really focused this first third of the year on the body, although we're going to talk about the mind today. And we're going to be hitting on Philippians big time as we get into today's service. And this is part two of the series. We did a mini series within a series, Food and Faith. Last week was part one. Today is part two. And again, focus on Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. But we're going to ask everybody to stand real quick. We're going to read the scripture together if we could. Our theme through this whole thing, just as we get ready to stand and sit and sharing this gospel is, or the scripture is, in January we talked about the gospel of the kingdom. We spent the whole month talking about what is it, the gospel of the kingdom. What is the gospel? What is the kingdom? In February we talked about Sabbath rest and what it means for that to take place in our life. And we talked about it in a variety of ways. In March we're talking about honoring the body as we get ready to conclude. But let's share in this gospel, if we could, reading together. And again, this is Philippians chapter 4, verses 2 through 9. Sometimes I will, if you see anything in parentheses on the screen, it's just helping you pronounce the word. Because some, I think it's important to know how words are pronounced, or it gives more meaning to it. So now I appeal to you, Yodia, or Yodai, you can see it there, and Syntyche is how that's pronounced. So now I appeal to you, Yodai, and Syntyche, please, because you belong to the Lord, settle your disagreements. So they're just giving a little backstory of what's going on. There's some infighting. Sound familiar? And I ask you, my true partner, to help these two women, for they worked hard with me in telling others the good news. They worked along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are written in the book of life. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all that He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. What a promise that is right there, just that alone. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely, and be admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and receive from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. May God bless your hearing, understanding, and application of Scripture. You can be seated. Thank you. Today's message is feasting on what is good. It's about what we intentionally receive, not just what we resist in our life. And this verse that we just read is not about positive thinking. A lot of positive thinking books out there and motivational speakers, but it's about a spiritual menu, I would argue, for the soul. The soul being our mind, our will, and our emotions. And Paul invites us to choose what nourishes our hearts and shapes our minds. And I think that's important. The Church of Philippi, you know, it was the first church in Europe. In a little backstory, and Paul wrote this letter to the Philippians. And he wrote it from prison. So this is what you got to think. He's in prison when he's writing this letter. And he's got this much faith and this much inspiration and motivation to keep on living a Jesus-centered life. So he's writing this in about 61 AD. And the Church of Philippi was the very first church in Europe. The very first one in that culture. And it was small, a very small church, deeply devoted, and a generous congregation. Because this is one of the first churches that actually supported financially Paul in his missionary efforts. But they were small. They were just like a small rural church, kind of what we're looking at today. The Roman colony had a few Jews, but it didn't have any synagogues in it. And Paul began his ministry by meeting a group of women praying by the river. So he walks down to the river, he sees them, and he starts working with them and talking with them and in community with them. And among them was Lydia. She was a Gentile businesswoman, and she was the first convert, if you would, at Philippi. She's the first one to come and follow Jesus. So the church included a lot of different players in that. There's Gentile believers from all social backgrounds, a Roman jailer in his household. We could read the rest of Philippians and read about that. And a formerly enslaved people of working class men and women. So these people that were enslaved, but now they're free, but they're working. They're just everyday blue-collar workers. And people united by tradition, but by Jesus Christ. That's what they were. So it wasn't about legalism. It wasn't about, you know, libertinism. It was about following Jesus. And though it was a small number, right, the Philippians were big in faith and support and generosity. And again, they supported Paul even when he was in prison. Even when he was in prison, they supported him. So what does Philippians mean? What does 4:8 mean, what we just read today? And it encourages the church to meditate, if you would, intentionally. To meditate intentionally. If you're going to use a Western version of meditation, it means to ruminate. And to ruminate is an old farmer's term. It means it's like a cow chewing a cud. When a cow eats a cud, it ruminates on it. So it keeps regurgitating it until it gets all the nutrients out of it. And this is what Paul is helping us do, to meditate, to be intentional as you meditate, not to let your thoughts be ruled by fear, anxiety, or distraction, but to let their minds be captivated by the things that reflect the character of Jesus. And I don't know about you, but if you struggle to meditate, because a lot of times the delusion of meditation is that somehow or another people that are really meditating shut everything off and you're just getting this quiet, almost zen moment. It's just, and you know, and everything's going great. And that's a struggle for most of us. And a great piece of wisdom that was given to me many years ago at a retreat by a mentor of mine, Bob, he shared this in a large group of us. He said, you know, when you meditate, think about this. Just pretend you're going down to the river, using the river analogy that Paul is using. You go down to the river and you dive into the river. You just dive in and you swim right to the bottom and you grab a hold of the seaweed or whatever weeds or whatever you can grab a hold of and you hang on to it. And the current's going to go by. And the current's going to bring whatever the current brings, but you just be in that experience, hold on to it, and let it be. And that's kind of how meditation is. You can't shut your mind off. Your mind just goes and it goes and it goes. But you can be intentional about what you put into it, whether it's reading the daily bread or it's the upper room or whatever. Just reading scripture alone. But just what are you thinking about when you're reading? And so meditation is, it's not just about this somehow another abstract connection with God, but it's there's a lot of intentionality when it comes to meditation. And just a quote that came out of this for me was this. This is just what came when I was putting this together. What the mind repeats, the heart receives, and the soul reflects. Right? And it's garbage in, garbage out, basically. You put garbage in, garbage is going to come out. It's just the reality of it. But whatever the mind repeats, the heart receives, the soul reflects. And I think that's an important mindset to think about what meditation does for us. It's just repetition. It's that remediation. You know, that chewing the cud over and over again, repeating it until the heart receives it, and then eventually your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions starts to reflect it in real life. You start to live it out. It becomes a transformation of who you are and what you're about. And the truth isn't just about personal transformation, but it's about communal culture, if you would, trying to be in the culture. The church feasts on what is true, noble, and lovely becomes the light in the dark world. It's what it should be. It's what we should be. And just like the church of Philippi, faithful, generous, joyful, and resilient. That's what we're called to be, even as a small collective group of people, even all the way down to the individual. N.T. Wright, one of my favorite theologians, would say, and I quote, "Christian living depends on Christian thinking. Right behavior begins with right belief." In recovery circles, they would say you can't act your way into right thinking, or you can't think your way into right acting, but you can act your way into right thinking just by taking actions, right? By just doing the next right thing, even though you don't believe it. Even though you don't believe what they're telling you to do, you just do it. right? And so you do those things and it becomes helpful. So the first point that I want to hit on today is what you feast on forms you. So what you put into your mind is going to shape your outcome. There's an old saying, you want me to tell you your future? Tell me who your friends are. Tell me who you're hanging around with. I can tell you your future pretty quick. Because you're going to be influenced by whatever you're around. If you watch nonsense on TV, then you're going to think about nonsense all day. You hang around knuckleheads, you're going to be a knucklehead. Why? Because I've listened to a lot of nonsense and I've run around with a lot of knuckleheads, right, in my life. So I know it's true. Right? I know it's true. You are what you eat isn't just a physical truth. It's a spiritual one as well. You know, it really is. If you feed your soul with fear, with cynicism, with chaos, don't be surprised if you're running on empty. So if you're watching news channels all day, and this is how every commercial on a news channel goes, we'll be right back in a few minutes to scare you to death some more. Just hang in there with us. We'll be right back. And you sit and watch that stuff. And then you want to know why you can't sleep at night, why you're pacing the floor, why you're out of your mind, and you're losing your mind. It's because this is what you're feeding your mind. You know, and it truly is. If you feed your soul with truth, with beauty, with scripture and prayer, you're going to grow in peace and strength. It's just a healthy recipe. It's a great formula for how to live a peaceful life. And a healthy spiritual life is about, it's not just about avoiding things or avoiding junk. It's about feasting on what heals. So it's not about just, I'm not going to do that anymore. And we're in a Lenten season where that can be the case. What are you going to give up for Lent? What are you going to stop doing? And it isn't just about what are you going to stop, but what are you going to start? You're going to take junk out of your life, but what are you going to replace it with? And so I think that's important. Feed your spirit with truth and beauty. Christ nourishes the soul. Amen? And so this next piece here, this next point is that the table of Christ, we're going to participate here in a minute in communion, but the table of Christ, and that's a big, broad spectrum definition. What does that even mean? But it's everything. But it's just the table. It's the experience, if you would, of just being at the table, being in the presence of Jesus or any mentor that's really helping you take the next steps on your spiritual journey. Being around those people makes a difference in your life. When you come to church and you sing great songs and you're with people you love, you leave feeling better. Amen? You just do. So it's one of the reasons we come together. We need each other for that very reason. And communion, it's not a snack, right? It's not a symbolic calories. It's grace that satisfies. It's a means of grace. That's what communion is all about. John, you see it there. John 6, verse 35. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. So at this table, we feast at the body and blood of Christ, the source of forgiveness, renewal that we all need, and eternal nourishment. So really important, I think, to think about. And the last point I want to talk about is feed your mind daily. Daily. Every day. I'm responsible for what I put in my mind, what I do when I get up and start my day. Philippians 4:8 is not just about Sundays. I'm going to come to church and I'm going to get fed. I hear that time all the time. Am I getting fed? If you're waiting till Sunday to eat, you sure don't wait till Sunday to eat everything else. You're hitting it pretty hard at buffet on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. But what about your spiritual needs? Are you really committed to it other than just one day a week? Are you feeding your mind? And who are you hanging around? I had a mentor tell me 3 decades ago. He said, Harold, you need to ask yourself 3 questions all the time. Number one, who am I around? And then number two, what's it doing to me? And number three, is it okay? And if it's not okay, make some changes. And I've lived by that. And it's just important, I think. So what do you feed your mind? And this verse should become a filter. And we just saw that in the bumper video. Before you're consuming something, before you watch it, before you read it, before you listen to it, before you hang around it, before you digest it, ask yourself these questions. Is it true? Is this true, what I'm about to engage in? Is this noble? Is this noble? Is it lovely? Is it worthy of praise? I think that's really important to write it down and to keep it visible, to train your mind to crave what feeds your spirit. And that's really what you want to do. You want your mind to crave a Jesus-centered outcome in your life, not a worldly one. And believe me, whatever you feed the most will materialize in your life. There's an old Native American story about the two wolves. Have you ever heard that analogy? Where he's sitting around with a young lad and he's talking about the world and trying to explain the dark side versus the light, or the enemy and the lower power versus the higher power, and God, however you want to frame the story. But these two wolves are in battle. And the young boy, after he's hearing all this, he goes, well, who wins the battle? And his great-grandfather says, you know, the one you feed the most wins the battle. The wolf you feed the most is going to be what wins. You know, it's just so truth in that. There's so much wisdom in that story. So what you put in your mind matters. Who you hang around with matters. What you listen to matters. You know, I'm a walking encyclopedia of worthless information. I can promise you. Just from junk I put in my mind, you know, throughout my life. Bad jokes, bad poems, bad riddles. Just terrible stuff. And he can remember it like it was yesterday. You know, it's like, how do you remember all that stuff? People ask me all the time, how do you remember all that stuff? Because it's garbage in, garbage out. That's the only thing you put in the dumpster. What else are you going to think about? It's the only thing in the dumpster. So when you change that, it changes everything. And I think it's important to know that. So choose the better feast, right? Clear your spiritual table. And feast on what brings joy and truth, and let God satisfy your soul. I mean, that is what we're doing. The world offers many things to consume, but they're not all good for you. Susan and I were just talking about it. Last week I said there's this killer app. You got to get it. It's free. You can use it to scan barcodes and tell you on a scale. It's kind of like having a sponsor or a mentor or a counselor or accountability partner on an app when you're trying to buy something to eat. You scan it and it tells you if it's any good or not. It'll give you, say, this is really poor. Just put this back, Harold. It might even just get that blunt. Just put it back. Put it down. Or it might say, hey, this is dumb. But it's called the Yuka app. I couldn't remember it last week. Y-U-K-A, Yuka, free. Check it out. I mean, it's a great tool. So next time you're going to go buy your favorite whatever, and you go zip, and it's like, what are you doing eating this stuff? And it's like, oh, man, I've been eating this for 30 years. Yeah, so that's your problem. That's why you're goofy. Put the cereal back. Get something different. You know, but it just have fun with it. But it's that shift to try to put the right things not in your body physically, but mentally is important. So Paul reminds us that joy, peace, and wholeness come from choosing what is excellent and praiseworthy. So you want to have joy in your life? You want to have truth in your life? You want to have peace, serenity? Well, a lot of it's on you. It lies on you. So as we prepare for communion, ask yourself, here's the inventory questions. What have I been consuming? And what needs to be cleared off the table or taken out of the cabinet? Are thrown away. And what good thing is God inviting me to feast on today? So let me pray for us as we get ready to go to communion. Dear God, we confess we consume what distracts and divides and depletes us, but today we turn back to the table you've set. Fill our hearts with what is pure, noble, and praiseworthy. Renew us with what is excellent. Make us hungry for your presence and satisfied by your grace. It's in your name we pray these things. And all God's people said, amen.
Hi again, this is Harold. Thanks so much for tuning in to this week's message from Transformation Church. I hope today's teachings encouraged you wherever you are in your spiritual journey. At Transformation Church, we're a Jesus-centered community for people who aren't in the church. Whoever you are, whatever your past, you are truly welcome here. We're not concerned with your politics, your pronouns, or if you're in recovery. We want you to come as you are with all your hurts, habits, hang-ups, doubts, questions, and reservations. Our focus is simple, to become the one thing Jesus prayed we would become, one. We follow a Jesus-looking God and live Jesus-centered lives, seeking unity through love and grace. We gather every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. in House Springs, Missouri, right at the northeastern tip of the beautiful Ozark Mountains. But church isn't just on Sundays. We meet throughout the week in house churches where genuine relationships form and transformation happens in community. We're also hearing from people all over the country who are engaging in personal and group studies based on our teaching. If that's happening in your corner of the world, we'd love to know. To stay connected, find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, and YouTube, or download our app. Just search for the church app in your app store Download it. It's churchapp-tithely, T-I-T-H-E.ly. And then enter Transformation Church, the app will pre-fill. Inside that app, you'll find our messages, devotions, announcements, sermon notes, discussion questions, the Bible itself, prayer requests, everything you need to grow and stay connected. If you'd like to support the ministry financially, visit us on the web at www.transformer4life.org. So transformer4life.org, or you can click the Give tab in our app. Every gift, no matter the size, helps us keep sharing the best news ever and helps us grow the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Thanks again for being a part of this extended church family. I'm so glad we're in this together, shoulder to shoulder, as a Jesus-centered community, helping people rediscover life and experience true transformation.